This Father's Day, when you ship UPS Air at the UPS store, your items arrive on time or your money back, guaranteed at no extra cost. It's like the father of all shipping services. It shows up to the airport way too early, just to play it safe. It's overprotective about all the things that truly matter, and it's always prompt, especially to be with family. Make it your first choice to celebrate your dad. Ship UPS Air with our money-back guarantee, exclusively at the UPS Store U.S. retail locations. Visit the upsstore.com/airshipping for full details. Terms and conditions apply.
Jeremy and Joe continues now
on ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
He's Joe. I am the Huntington Bank bad boy. We had a junkie earlier. Let me find it. Said, the Huntington Bank bad boy, all capital letters, really? Three question marks?
Yeah. Really? Yes.
So really?
Call me. A junkie says, give me Tanner Kozio in the later rounds. I'm down. No problem there. Give me all of that. Go Cougs. Shout out to Joe for the worst background ever. That's not a bad background. My background's way worse. My background's literally a wall and a bed. Joe's background's kind of nice.
Well, normally when I do podcast stuff or video stuff, you can't see it. So I was going to do more, but it's like the rare occasion I'm doing it like this for ESPN is the only time you see it. So
yeah,
it's a waste of time.
I heard a song the other day, Joe, and thought about you.
Okay.
It's this, is it the End of Beginning song? I think it's End of Beginning.
Oh, yeah.
Where he's like, you can take the boy out of the city, but you can't take the city out of the boy. And then they talk about Chicago, and I'm like, that's Joe!
Yes, I know that song.
That's Joe. And then I heard another song where there's like squealing chickens.
Okay.
Like, oh, that's Brian. I feel for Brian. I get laryngitis once or twice a year. It's awful.
He's had twice in like a month.
I know. It's weird how he got it, and then it went away, and then he got it back. That one's kind of odd. Makes me feel like there's something nefarious at play. He's dead. Now, laryngitis is the worst, man. It's not the worst. Let me take that back. It's far from the worst. There's a lot of things that are way worse. It just stinks for a few days.
Yeah.
Do you have any laryngitis tips that we can give to Brian?
I've
heard that drinking dip cans that are behind your right shoulder is very, very good.
I don't think that's what that is.
It helps you get your voice back.
I don't think that's what that is.
I like to do the hot teas with honey.
That's what
it
I
seems
do normally.
To help me. Cough drops. But once it's gone, it's gone. Like, there's not reversing any of that course. Hydration, steroids, PEDs.
And just hope it's gone for...
Go to Tijuana. Go to Tijuana. They can help you out. A lot of stuff.
Just hope it's gone before you have, like, something important to do.
Yeah. Yeah, I've had to miss shows with laryngitis. Brian's in a position where he doesn't have to miss a show with laryngitis, which is good. But I've had to miss shows with laryngitis. Fortunately, I've never missed a game. Knock on wood. That would suck. All right, so this infield surplus thing, I'm starting to get annoyed by it, Joe. I feel like Chandler Rome's fear-mongering everybody and be like, oh, the Astros are having this earthquake and they can't survive. Like, no, bro, they just have an extra infielder. It's going to be okay. But he wrote an article after this fan fest thing. He said, insurance against injuries is necessary, and players will need an occasional off day, but finding every day at bats for all of Alvarez, Altuve, Walker, Paredes, Pena, and Correa feels impossible. Okay. I have the possibility here in just a second. He says they can't guarantee him, Isak, daily playing time only reflects the uncertainty around this roster construction. Fearmonger in here, Joe. We got a fearmonger on our hands. We got hot take Rome. Ever since he started this podcast, just hot takes. He's no longer just reporting on the news. He's got these spicy takes, and quite frankly, they're clown takes, bro. So I have a plan for you, and I think it's a very simple plan. I think it's a very easy plan, and I think that their words too, which I know you can't always take them for their word. But there's a lot of their words like, oh, Altuve's going to play some in left field, but most at second base. Jordan's going to play most at DH, but some at left field. Isak's going to take some ground balls at second to see how that goes. We want to rest these guys so they don't get hurt like they were hurt last year. okay, like I've been able to put two and two together, deductive reasoning here, Joe, and I have the plan. You ready for the plan?
Let me hear it.
All right. First and foremost, what do you think the chances of Jose Altuve, Yordan Alvarez, Carlos Correa, Isak Paredes, Jeremy Peña, and Christian Walker making it through the whole season healthy?
0%.
Okay. End of conversation. There you go. Injury insurance. There you go. If you have an infield surplus and one of those guys gets hurt, problem solved. But that's not what anybody wants to hear right now. I get it. So I played out the scenario, Joe, where all of these guys are healthy the whole year. Every single one of these guys completely healthy the whole year. And also, they're all productive, right? Because if Christian Walker plays like the first half of Christian Walker last season, well, there goes the problem. Christian Walker just gets DFA'd like Jose Abreu got DFA'd, right? If he's so bad that you can't play, Isak Paredes, you're our new first baseman. Problem solved. So injury insurance, production insurance. So let's assume that you have a real problem. You don't have injuries to all these players. Sounds good to me. You don't have a production problem. Christian Walker finds the fountain of youth. Sounds good to me. So we're assuming that these guys are all healthy, and we're assuming that they're all productive all year, which both sound like miracles. But Jose Altuve is a little older now, right? Give him a day off once every seven games. Have him play left field once every seven games. So you're resting him, but you're also not playing him in left field that much, which is what you want to do and what they've said. Yordan Alvarez, we know that he can be a little injury prone at times. Day off once every seven games, play left field once every seven games. Is that like hard? Is that something? Do you have a problem with this yet?
Nope, not at
all.
Okay.
Carlos Correa, you get a day off once every seven games. You've had injuries in your career. We want to keep you healthy. You get a day off once every seven games. Jeremy Peña, last year's injuries fluke, but he still got hurt, got hit in the ribs, had an adductor strain that he couldn't play the final week or two of the season. I don't need you to get a rest every seven games because you're young and you're shortstop and you're built like a Greek god. You can take a day off once every 20 games. Okay, no problem there. Christian Walker, you're older. You weren't that productive last year. We think you playing less will actually help you. You get a day off once every five games. Any issues so far?
None.
Okay. So if you do the math on that, Jeremy Peña gets 154 starts. Okay, that's pretty good. 8 days off, 154, that's still a good body of work. Jose Altuve and Yordan Alvarez get around 140 starts. Good number, especially for an older, Jose Altuve. This is starts, by the way. They can pinch hit in the other 22 games. But 140 starts-ish with 20 to 25 of them in left field. That's a small number. You can get away with that. Carlos Correa, 140-ish starts. That's fine for a third baseman in his 30s that's had injury problems. And Christian Walker, mid-30s, you get 130 starts. You know how many games that opens up for Isak Paredes? 150. Where is the surplus? Where is the issue? Where is the impossibility? Where is this bad roster construction? This is a clown take. This is fear-mongering at its best.
I feel like it's valid for the first month, maybe 2 months. Because I feel like early in the season, like the best situation is probably not to do this, right? Like, we don't typically see the rotation starting right away. These guys play a lot at the beginning of the season. They're just going to have to go away from that. Like, I'm with you, man. Like,
I disagree with that. I think managers have a plan like this all the time.
They can start this from day one. I have zero issue with any of this. And, his point on Paul's podcast was about arbitration numbers for Isak Paredes. And that if he doesn't play enough, it's going to hurt his arbitration. He's not going to be okay with that.
I got 150 starts.
Exactly. Like, and I know he's playing in, Mexico right now? And then he's playing on, he's on the World Baseball Classic roster at the moment for Team Mexico. So that means he's also healthy. But we also still haven't really seen him run a lot, if anything, since he got hurt last year. So, like, there's a chance that he's not even healthy. Like, I don't view it as this big question mark like you. It's, if it's a real problem and Isak Paredes wants to be an everyday third baseman, then he's going to have to vocalize that and demand a trade. He hasn't done that yet. Like, whatever's going on behind the scenes, they seem to be okay with. And I know Carlos Correa, like, one of Chandler's points was also that he's not going to take days off. Well, sorry, man. Like, you're getting old. You're hurt all the time. Like, you're going to take a day off once every 7 days, like the plan you laid out. And even then, like, not the end of the world. So you play 5 days a week instead of 6 days a week. That's fine. Like it's not. I think it is fear mongering a little bit. And he said also that he thinks one of these guys gets traded by this end of spring training. I'll believe it when I see it.
Look, that might happen. Like, that might happen. Okay, cool. Like, if I like the trade, I like the trade. But to act like it's some, like, poor roster construction or, like, they're in desperate need of this is categorically false.
Yeah. Like, they're fine. Like, they're in a fine position to handle this team based on the injury history alone of these players. If they were all Jeremy Peña's and they played all the time, and last year's Carlos Correa trade was only because you felt like you had to make it in the playoff push, and you had you knew you had a problem going the next season, I think we'd be talking about this differently. But Altuve, Yordan, these guys don't play every day. They're nowhere near every day because they're hurt all the time. So, I think most teams would honestly be envious of the Astros situation, of saying, hey, we have this extra guy that can play, you know, 3-4 positions on this team, including DH, and be serviceable at all the fielding spots, most likely. The only real question mark is second base. So that's my fault. Like, what if they get to camp and he's a mess at second? Does that change your thoughts on this at all if he can't really be a factor into Altuve's days off and that has to be someone else?
Yeah, if it becomes a bit of an issue if he can't at least handle second base. But there's also a way to work around that, and you play him at second base whenever you have your fly ball starters on the mound. Like, sure. It's the same thing that they did with Altuve last year. Like, they would have liked to play Altuve more in left field, but you had injuries to Yordan, and it kind of became an issue. So he played more second base towards the end of the year. But they were hiding where they played Altuve. He was playing second base whenever they had fly ball pitchers, and he was playing left field when they had ground ball pitchers. You can do the same thing with Isak. Like, no problem at first and third. Like, when Isak has first base, third base days, you don't care who's pitching. DH day, obviously, you don't care who's pitching. The few games where he plays at second, and in this model, 150 starts, the few games out of 150 where he's starting at second, not a lot, a few, okay, well, you know who's pitching a week in advance. You make sure that he's playing second whenever you have your fly ball pitchers on the mound. Limit the exposure to ground balls. Limit the significance of having a good defensive second baseman because you have a fly ball starter. Like, it's not complicated. Like, they act like it's some rocket science thing to have, like, these guys who have to play multiple positions, or like the manager's going to have unique lineups. It's 2026. These managers have 150 unique lineups a year. Like, why are we acting like the lineup that you put in on opening day is the lineup you're going to run out there 125 times? It is not. It is not. It doesn't happen that way. When was the last time the Astros have had fewer than 125 unique lineups? You'd have to go back to, like, Phil Garner, probably.
And honestly, like, what if they just play Yordan at left?
They could do that. And here's the other thing about this, Joe. Everybody has a plan until they get punched in the face. The moment there's one injury, it all kind of fixes itself. But the moment you have one injury or one slump or a guy get hot, then you change the plan. They're constantly changing plans. We saw that last year. Altuve's a left fielder. Altuve's a second baseman. Like, the plan consistently changes based on what you have available and the production of what you have available. The idea that this is some poor roster construct and they can't figure it out, I hate to say it, I don't want to be mean, is simply stupid. Like, I drew up a very basic plan quickly, and you can alter based on that plan. And here's the other thing, Joe. If you had, like, a must-win game and, all of these guys are healthy, seems like a long shot. All these guys are producing well. Seems like a long shot. You know what else you can do? You can still play all nine. There's a way to get all nine in the lineup. If you were playing in a must-win, like, game one, well, you don't have game 163 anymore. Let's say game 162 is a winner go home. You had to win it. All these guys are healthy. All these guys are producing well. Cool. You can play them all. Yiner or Walker. Yiner's your catcher. Walker's at first. Altuve, Isak at second. Correa at third. Peña at short. Yordan or Altuve in left. Center field and right field, not really part of this conversation. DH, whoever's left over. It's easy. This is simple. Why are we going nuts about this? It's because it's January 26th and there's nothing else to fearmonger about?
Yeah, I don't know. Because it's like, even if the Astros, Jeremy, had a, like, if they had a for sure left fielder that, like, wasn't a giant question mark, like, maybe this is a little bit of a different conversation, because then you don't have, you know, Altuve at bats in left field and a Yordan playing left field. But because you don't have a true left fielder right now, like Jesus Sanchez can play out there in your plan 5 days a week. Yordan can do it once or every seven games. Yordan can do it once and Altuve can do it once. And you're fine.
And like, fine.
And he doesn't. And Jesus Sanchez, then he can play in right field and give Cam Smith a day off. And he's still playing six out of seven games. Like, it's – I'm with Theo 100%. Like, until
it's
the Astros
easy.
Make
it's
a move,
simple.
I don't – yeah. And honestly, I think I have more questions about when they make this move, if they do.
Yeah. Look, and I'm not opposed to a move for what it's worth. If they traded Isak for Willy Abreu and a bunch of pitching arms, cool. That's fine. Like, I'm not opposed to a trade. What I'm attacking here is the idea that it's some, like, roster improbability to make it work. It's simply not. Some layman like me just laid out a fine plan.
Yeah, I agree. It's not hard to figure out. I think you're smarter than you give yourself credit for there. But I just, to me, like, what's the rush even as the season starts? Okay, so let's say the season starts and your plan, you've got this plan, and you realize it's not working. You know, you like, everyone's healthy. And the at-bats don't look good for Paredes because he's moving around the diamond. It's just not looking right. Okay, so then you make a move in season. Like give it a shot to see what it looks like in the regular season as you're healthy. Mm-hmm. And if it goes wrong, it goes wrong and you pivot. But yeah. there's no reason to me, unless you're getting a player you really like right now to solidify your outfield, to make a move right now. And even if you did... I don't mind the Dubon trade. I don't mind moving on from Urias. But if you trade Paredes away and Correa gets hurt, like Nick Allen is your third baseman. Cool. Bryce Matthews,
there
maybe. I don't
it's
know.
It's probably Bryce. Like, or maybe, yeah, probably Bryce.
But, like, it's you're in worse shape. Like, yes, your outfield's better off, I guess, if you get, you know, one of the Red Sox guys. But I would just keep it as is and just play it out and see how healthy these guys are. And, you know, I know someone texted in about the World Baseball Classic. How many guys are playing? Altuve was denied or asked not to play by the Astros. We know Correa said the same thing at FanFest this weekend. He's waiting to hear back from what the Astros want him to do. My guess is going to be not play. I don't think the Astros are going to have anyone playing at Daikin Park this year, frankly.
Yeah.
Unless Hunter Brown surprises us and pitches for Team USA, but I don't think that's happening.
No, that's the worst one.
Yeah, so like, I think the Astros, like, in theory, should get to spring training healthy. And figure it out. And I feel the same exact way about the rotation. It's going to play itself out. Like, there's no need to worry about this surplus they have in the infield or in the rotation. Like, it's going to play out. Like, someone's going to get hurt. It's just the reality of baseball.
Everyone's so obsessed with, like, here's my everyday lineup. Like, dude, that's a 1950 conversation. Like, that is not the current times of baseball. Even the starting rotation's not. Like, the Astros have talked openly. Like, yeah, we're probably going to be in the six-man most of the year. Like, people get so fixated with this is the way that it should be. It should be an everyday. These are the nine you're running out there 125 times. Dustin brings up a good point on Twitter. Heck, why does Walker have to be the starting first baseman? I'm starting Paredes and letting Walker be the bench guy. I hear you on that, and I don't have too much of an argument or pushback. I do want to see what Walker looks like, though. Like, Walker did have a good second half of the season last year. Flirted with an 800 OPS. I think he was hurt at the start of the last season, which hurt his numbers. But, hey, if he's bad in the first 2 months this year, okay, well, then he's coming off the bench. He's your glorified John Singleton. You might even DFA him. Like, there's no guarantee that Christian Walker is going to be good from what we saw last year.
Mm-hmm.
I hope he's second-half Christian Walker and not first-half Walker, but, you know, can I be 100% on that? Absolutely not. So this is like having this many guys is, one, insurance for injury. It's insurance for lack of production, and if all those things hit, in the unlikely scenario where they do, well, there's still a path for plenty of playing time, and in games that you have to win, which, when does that happen, over 162 games, maybe the last week, you can still get all nine in the lineup. Like, it's not a big deal. It's not.
No.
People
no,
are fear-mongering it. It drives me nuts.
I think
some clue.
Like...
Have some feel. Have some sense.
I think it's best case scenario is that we're getting to the playoffs and we're having to have discussions about everyone's healthy. What are you doing in the eighth inning when you want to substitute defensively, but Yordan's been at DH? You also don't want to take Paredes' bat out of the lineup, or Yordan was in left. You don't want to take Paredes' bat out of the lineup. You also probably don't want Altuve at second base at the end of games. Mm-hmm. You might not want Paredes there. Like,
it's Nick the Stick.
hopefully it's just a good problem to have.
Well, that's
eventually. What
Nick the Stick's for, Joe. Like, I mean, if you have a lead late in a game, I think that Nick Allen's a late inning defensive replacement.
Yeah.
I think whoever's playing second base that day, let's I mean, what random game in May? You're up 4-2, eighth or ninth inning. Their spot just hits. You're not worried about it coming up in the next inning. Like, if you replace them in the eighth, you're not worried about their bat coming up in the ninth because they just hit the previous half inning or whatever. Nick Allen's your defensive replacement, and he's a good defender. He's a good defender. He's probably playing second. But, like, there you go. Like, you can work your way around it. And here's the other thing. Like, I think this is a fine plan, and it's not going to be exact. Obviously, you're going to tinker as you go. But 154 starts for Pena, Altuve, Alvarez, 140 each, Correa, 140, Walker, 130, Isak, 150. The games that they are sitting, pretty nice luxury to have that bat off the bench.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty nice luxury, and they're still getting plenty of at-bats. There's nothing to worry about. There's nothing to fearmonger. They can still all play if they're healthy and productive. Let's stop being clowns with baseball takes because we started a new podcast. Just go report on stuff. You're a good reporter. Just report.
Yep,
don't have
I
takes.
Agree.
Your takes are trash.
I'm with you. Like So do you think there's going to be a trade? Like, what does your gut tell you about like how
my
this
gut
plays
tells
out?
Me no.
I'm with you. Like, I feel like they would have already made it.
I think it's like 60-40 no. And if they make it, cool. That's fine too. Like, I'm okay with them making a trade. This isn't anti-trade, but it's anti-stupid takes is what it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's. Look, it's a wait and see a little bit of how this all plays out, but I struggle with seeing like a real negative to just keeping the roster as is.
Yeah,
I'm okay with
the roster.
Yeah,
I don't mind where it's at.
I really don't know like what the worst case scenario is that you don't have an answer for in anything. Like if you have, as you said, if Walker's bad, then he's just bad, and Paredes is your first baseman.
Yep,
problem solved. If anyone gets hurt, you have guys to fill those gaps. Problem solved. Like, it's just I the best problem you can have is that everyone's awesome and everyone's healthy.
Yeah.
Great.
And you still have an answer for that. There's still an answer for that. There's still a way to get all nine in the lineup for that.
Mm-hmm.
It's just I don't get it, man. You're forgetting our aircraft carrier Cam Smith that can also play infield. Worst case scenario. I wasn't forgetting him. It's just not a center field, right field conversation here. It's more of an infield, left field, DH conversation.
He's insinuating that Cam Smith could play third base.
Right, which I don't think that they think that. I think that they've given up on the idea of Cam Smith as an infielder. I think he's an outfielder. In fact, I think if Cam Smith picks up a secondary position, I don't hate the idea of it being center field. Like, go see what it looks like in center field with Cam Smith. Like, every day, no. But against lefties, some days, maybe. I wouldn't mind to see what Cam Smith looks. I hope he gets some fly balls in center. Like a few of these other FanFest nuggets from McTaggart. Paredes will get reps at second. Matthews will play second base in center field. I love that about Matthews. Like, I love the idea of Matthews being a utility guy. Like, there's not a sure spot for him. I'm not sure he deserves a full spot, like a sure spot yet. But play a bunch of positions and be your Mauricio Dubon. Like, second and third, you need to play more than that. But I like that he's playing infield, outfield.
Yep. I think Bryce is like, he's perfect in that role, frankly. Like, the strikeout numbers are alarming, but if you can play good defense, like, that's fine. He can do what Dubon did offensively. Like, outside of that stretch where, you know, after the last World Baseball Classic where Dubon set the world on fire playing for Altuve, like, I think Bryce Matthews can be equivalent to what those guys were bringing last year, so I'm good with that.
Yeah, and it's a way to get him a few at-bats. I think he's actually going to start the year in AAA, but, hey, I like that in case there's injury, stuff like that. You mentioned the Jose Altuve. It seems like he's not going to play in the WBC. How do you feel about that, Joe?
I think it's a fine decision. Like, I don't think it's I mean, like, to me, like, it's not the end of the world if guys are or not playing. Like, he got a fluke injury. It's really the pitchers I'd be more concerned about. Like, it's a quick ramp up. You're going to be asking them to do a lot. Like, what does that look like? But the two big injuries that came out of the World Baseball Classic the last time it happened were what? Were Jose Altuve getting hit in the hand, and Edwin Diaz jumping on a plate and tearing his ACL, I think it was, and missing an entire season.
I think so.
Like, they're fluke injuries. Like, I couldn't remember if it was an ACL or he broke his leg.
I can't remember it either. But he was out for the year. It makes me think it was an ACL or Achilles.
Yeah, I think we might be getting the Angels player that broke his leg, Kendrick Morales.
He tore a patellar tendon in his right knee.
Okay, yeah. So it's like they were fluke injuries. Like, everyone came out largely healthy last year. So like I'm fine either way, frankly, if they played. But if they're not going to, like, that's cool too. There's going to be plenty of former Astros at Daikin Park for Team USA.
It seemed like Altuve wanted to play, though. Like, I was reading his comments from yesterday. He's like, I filed the paperwork just like I have in all the years. It's always great to represent my country. Like, I don't know if he's saying the right things to please the country or if there's actually, like, some dissent here. Hopefully they're all on the same page and there's not dissent. But at the same time, what's, like, Altuve going to do? Like, Altuve's going to be like, yeah, I'll play hard. So hopefully there's not dissent. If there is dissent, whatever. And I
they'll get over it.
Yeah, they'll get over it. They'll get over it. I personally, selfishly, don't want my players playing for their country. Is that mean? Is that cold-hearted? Yes, but I care more about the Astros season than I do the WBC. The WBC is cool, but I like watching it with other players from other teams. I don't want Jose Altuve to miss the first 2 months of the season because he got a broken thumb. So
yeah,
I'm selfish
there. For the USA guys, like it would be a little different since they're playing here in Houston. Like, it would be cool to see that, but I think Hunter Brown would be the only one that would qualify for the team. And there's been nothing on him for Team USA. I don't think he was even asked about it at FanFest this weekend, or at least no one, you know, tweeted about it. But so I'm with you for the most part. Like, it's cool they're playing. Like, the other side of me, like, the Cubs have, like, six guys playing. I'm freaking out. Like, it could be a disaster.
No one cares about the Cubs down here, Joe.
I'm just saying, like, I would rather be the Astros and have no one playing than having six guys play.
No one cares about the Cubs, Joe.
Just make it a point.
They don't care about the Cubs down here. 713-780. We do need Astros Con, though. I think that's something that needs to happen.
I mean, they kind of do.
Yeah, kind of do. FanFest is kind of Astro Con, isn't it?
A little price difference is a little different.
What was, like, cheaper or more expensive?
I think it was like $2 to go to the Astros thing on Saturday.
Oh, really?
I think it was cheap.
We pay you in $2 bills. All right, 7-1. It was also freezing cold. Like, they probably, if they were charging a lot of money, probably weren't going to sell many tickets. All right, 713-780-3776. Willibits coming up next. You never know what you're going to get. You just know that it's going to be mediocre at best. 713-780-3776. Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2. You got to get out to Two Creeks Crossing Resort on Lake Livingston. That's not average at best. That is awesome. You can escape the hustle and bustle of the job. Stress, anxiety, whatever. Just get out there to Two Creeks Crossing Resort. You're going to have a great time. You and the family going to have a great time. Maybe it's just you. Maybe you want to escape the family. And you just want to get some peace and quiet, some rest and relaxation. Or maybe you want to send the missus away for a couple of days. Get her some rest and relaxation because you're a great guy and you're a good husband. Well, Two Creeks Crossing Resort is for you or maybe for her. Escape the city. Enjoy the relaxing, great outdoors. Book your stay, twocreekscrossingresort.com. Take advantage of this 40-20 discount through February. 40% off your stays, 20% off RV stays. If you already have your RV, they have the perfect RV hookup spots for you. They got glamping for you, cabins. We stayed in the treehouse when we went. The boys, the Branham boys, they loved the treehouse. They have the perfect stay for everybody. But it's only an hour and a half away from Houston. I mean, you're there in 90 minutes. You're going to be enjoying the open green spaces in no time. Wildlife, some of the best fishing in Texas, too. They got the two creeks that run alongside their property. Some good fishing. They got the catch and release pond in the middle of the property, which is a great way to teach the kiddos how to fish, teach them how to cast, teach them how to reel. As I mentioned, it's only 90 minutes away from Houston, so you can escape without traveling too far. Hike on their 92 acres of property, do some kayaking. They got some pickleball courts for you, or just hang out at Swampers and have a cold one. Nothing wrong with that. Coming up in February, they got a Valentine's Day weekend, Friday and Saturday. Valentine's falls on Saturday this year. They always have food trucks out there, live music. Benny and Jesse on the 14th, the Mud Creek Revival on the 21st. Western Roundup weekend coming up in late February, and a Mardi Gras and gumbo cook-off. Man, what I would do for some gumbo right now. So Two Creeks Crossing Resort, always taking care of their visitors. Make sure you follow them on social, too. Giveaways from time to time. You might even win a free stay. Book that stay now, twocreekscrossingresort.com. That's twocreekscrossingresort.com.
ESPN 97.5.
You're back with Jeremy and Joe, and I honestly have no idea what's happening next. Could it be the next great food debate? Jeremy being a giant buzzkill? Joe trying to do math? Carry the one, Joe. Carry the one. Or maybe they'll recklessly label people as casuals. Let's find out. It's time for the Wheel of Bits.
Oh, my goodness. Would you look at this? What an enormous bit.
It's time to give a tip of the cap.
A tip of the cap. Who are you giving a tip of the cap to after the weekend? 713-780-ESPN. HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776. Joe, I'm giving a tip of a cap to the Alex Honnold guy.
Yeah.
To climb that big skyscraper, the 11th tallest skyscraper in the world. Dude, it was a piece of cake for him. It was like a walk in the park for him to climb up the 11th tallest skyscraper in the world.
Did you know this was happening?
Yeah. I mean, not until, like, the day before.
Oh, okay. I totally missed it. Also, I looked on Twitter, and I thought it was, like, at first, like, police reports.
Oh,
of, like, some guy just, like, climbing the building. I had no idea. Don't shake your head like that, VBack. You can't talk, so you can't say anything. Literally. You can text all you want. But I had no idea it was happening. So I was like, what is going on? And I realized that no interest in watching because I'm terrified of heights, so I don't even want to see someone else do it.
Yeah, I got a little uneasy. Whenever he stood at the apex of the skyscraper, that was impressive. Like, I was like, ooh, I'd get dizzy up there. Yeah. That was a tip of the cap there. Apparently, it was supposed to happen Friday, but it was rainy. And then Netflix tweeted out, due to safety, we're not going to allow it because safety's our top priority. And I responded, yeah. Well, if safety's your top priority, you're not letting somebody climb up the 11th tallest skyscraper of the world. They got pretty good engagement on Twitter at Jeremy Branham. But yeah, tip of the cap. I watch some of like his workout videos and stuff. Like, the guy's a freak. Like, he does pull-ups like with his pinkies and stuff. An absolute freak. And he like doesn't get scared. Like, his blood pressure or whatever you call it.
Clearly
whatever
not.
Whatever it is that measures like your calmness is like it's unworldly. So yeah, tip of the cap. Like, he did the El Capitan too.
When do you like realize you think like this is what I'm gonna do with my life?
I don't know.
Climb buildings.
No, I guess support. Pretty early you start climbing things. You're like, man, I'm good at this. And then you start training for better climbs. And then, I don't know, eventually you're climbing the 11th tallest building in the world without any sort of rope or cable.
Yeah, just going free.
Tip my cap to UFC 324.
Oh, yeah. I
like that they moved this to Paramount. I think it's going to lead to more eyeballs, at least my eyeballs. My eyeballs will be watching it more because I'm cheap and don't want to pay all those pay-per-views for two cards a month. Mm-hmm. But Justin Gaethje, the new lightweight champion of the world, with the interim until the other guy comes back. He beat up Paddy Pimblett by decision. I didn't think either fighter looked great.
But
credit to Gaethje for winning.
I mean, Justin was just throwing bombs. Like, he was just throwing bombs. And Paddy, like,
his boxing defense is the worst, man.
He's a takedown guy. Like, it's like he wanted to prove
his hands were like down here by his chest.
Yeah.
Like, here you go. Here's my face. Hit it.
Like, he just wanted to, like, prove that he could bang, which, like, he did. But, like, it didn't help him get the
he's
title.
He's a tough guy.
He is.
I like how his corner was like, take him down. Guard your face. And he did neither one of those things.
No.
He was like, no. I'm good. I'm gonna do my own thing. And then he lost.
I'm with you, though, on Paramount. This is great. Like,
I know.
Like,
I'm all in. I'm going to watch them all.
Like, compare and contrast to, like, the other company that they, like, work for, like, that they have now with WWE. I'm way less inclined to watch WWE now because I don't have ESPN Plus. So, like, I have to go get it now. I'm like, I already had Paramount, so.
You don't have this Plus? You work in sports, you don't have Plus?
What am I going to watch on it?
I mean, Big 12 basketball? College basketball?
The Cougs are on TV.
WWE pay-per-views?
I guess. Like, maybe I'll have to get it, but, like, being on Paramount, I think
read,
is.
Actually, all the ESPN articles are free now. They took that off of. It's all for free. It's no longer pay to read.
Oh, I didn't know that. That's
yeah,
nice.
All their articles are open now. They don't have it behind a paywall anymore. Sean O'Malley and the co-main beat Song Yadong, which is an all-time great name.
I do
Song
not know Yadong. This man.
Song Yadong.
Did you like the call on this one? Did you like the you think they got it right?
Yeah, I like to grade fights from home. It's one of the things I like to do because I'm the true boxing judge and mixed martial arts judge of this show. And I had it 29-8, 29-28 O'Malley. I think O'Malley won a close first round. Some people wanted to give it to Song because he took down O'Malley late, but he didn't do any damage after he got that takedown in the first. So I had O'Malley winning the first. Song dominated the second, and then O'Malley dominated the third. I thought they got that one exactly right. I also got the Gaethje right. I had Gaethje 49-46. In fact, I tweeted it out before the decision. And my friends were like, no, you don't know ball. It's not 49-46. It's closer than 49-46. And then two of the three judges had it 49-46.
Boom, there we go. Jeremy Branham's right.
It's true.
Yeah, I saw some people thought O'Malley didn't win the first round and went the
other
way.
Yeah, that one was close. That one was close. Yeah. I admit that. It was a close one, but I just didn't think that Song did any damage on the ground, so I didn't give him credit for the takedown.
No, I think that's fair. So, like, yeah, I had it the same way. I thought O'Malley got that one correctly. I like watching him fight, too.
And then Derek Lewis, man. How about that? It was not a great look for Houston's. Can we call him finest? Can we still call him finest after that?
I think it's Joshua Van now as Houston's finest.
I would call Lewis the finest because I don't want to, like, pick him up, you know, in a fight. You know, Booker T, whatever. He's a fake fighter. But Derek Lewis, like, yeah, it didn't look great, but Lewis would still, like, kill me.
So, I feel like it kind of looked like he slipped and then
he definitely
just couldn't recover. That was the other thing with Patty, too. Like, it kind of sucks that, like, the big knockdown in the second round was an eye poke that cut him open. Like, you could see it in real. I know the ref couldn't see it, but, like, you could see it as he went down that his eye was hurting and it cut him open. So I thought, like, I'm glad, like, they didn't have to intervene and call, like, a, you know, no contest or anything like that, because I think they might have, honestly, if they would have saw in the moment that it was a finger poke. But, for Derek Lewis, that was tough. That was a tough look.
Yeah, not a great one. Tip of the cap to Texas Tech. Tip of the cap. Good win for the Red Raiders on Saturday. Really good look for their fans showing up for game day. And then it was a sold-out crowd. I was wondering how many people would get there with that weather. And, I mean, pretty much every seat was full. Great environment in front of the USA, United Supermarkets Arena. And then they won the game, so I have to tip your cap there. Hopefully we see that rematch again and maybe in the national title game. So tip my cap to Tech. That was a fun environment. Ryan Pressly, didn't get to it last week. Tip my cap on a fantastic career. One of the greatest Astro relievers of all time. Maybe the greatest because of World Series success. Probably not over Wagner, but Pressly close, especially because of the title. And then a tip of the cap to Shernmin Chow. She's leaving KHOU Channel 11. She's been there for like 50 years. I think she's been there my entire life. Wow. Shernmin, congratulations on a great career, Shernmin.
I'm gonna throw one in here for you, okay?
Okay.
Tip of the cap to Kingston Flemings.
42.
Keaton Wagler.
42 points for Kingston Flemings, the all-time freshman record at the University of Houston. Do you know whose record he broke?
Elvin?
Nope, they didn't have freshmen playing basketball back then.
Oh, this is the guess. Grimes?
You're never going to get it. No, Grimes wasn't at Houston as a freshman.
Rob Gray?
Rob Gray was not at Houston as a freshman.
I'm never going to get it.
Well, Rob Williams.
Oh.
You were close, I guess, with Rob.
I got half of it right. And then also, what's it, AJ DeBanza, is that how you say
it? Yeah.
So three freshmen scored 40 points on Saturday, first time that's ever happened in D1 basketball history. They all were balling.
They were. I was wondering to myself, I was wondering, is 42 a freshman record in the Big 12? And then, like, as I asked the question, DeBanza got to 40. I was like, uh-oh. And then he got to 43. I was like, well, no longer my research. Somebody else can do it.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that was impressive. BYU played Arizona tonight, by the way. BT Dubs, looking forward to that. Tip of the cap to my wife for making the best Oso Buco I've ever had yesterday. I don't know what that is. Hopefully it's not bad and I just got played. No, it's a real thing. It's a classic Italian dish from Milan. Is this oxtail? Yeah, I think it might be. Huh, that looks really good. I would. Absolutely.
That looks fabulous. Bring it by.
Yeah, that looks really good. I tip a cap to your wife, too, because it looks good. You have to watch Free Solo. Alex is insane. Half normal. Tip of the cap to Dabo for snitching on Ole Miss and airing out the receipts. I haven't watched it yet.
It's good.
I haven't watched it yet. I saved it in my bookmarks, but I haven't been able to get to it. Josh from Seabrook, the guy that climbed the skyscraper, freehand, no ropes, no safety net. Definitely tip of the cap indeed. Another junkie. Booker would whoop your
junkie?
Bad word, dude. Fake fighter is so disrespectful when you look how you do and how he looks how he does. Bro, you haven't seen me in a while. Look at these guns. These 13-inch pythons. Booker T can do nothing. Booker T, after he gets through these 12-inch pythons, going to be running back to Harlem. Harlem cold once I get done with Booker T. Jabroni T.
I think it's interesting they dropped from 13 to 12 inches in one promo, but good job. I saw you working out during one of the breaks.
I work out.
You mean me? What you gonna do, brother? What you gonna do, brother? When Branham puts the most electrifying move on Booker. Booker T's gonna try to hit the spinneroonie and break his spine. That's what Booker T's gonna do.
What would it take?
Disrespectful to Booker T. He'd
whoop you. Booker chop you.
I've played golf with Booker T. Booker T couldn't drive the ball halfway of my drive. He got nothing on me. Branham would take Booker T to the, I don't know where I'd take him to the corner maybe, bang his head on the turnbuckle.
What would it take to let Booker
Harlem, show him some real heat?
What would it take to let Booker shop you?
A lot of money. Yeah, I'm willing to do business, but I'm not doing business for free.
Let's say, is there a wager that we could do as a show?
Like I do it for $100.
We do these drink bets.
$100. $100. You can chop me.
I think we should just do something like one of our competitions that we do.
No, I'm not doing that for free, bro. I'm willing to do business, but I'm not doing it for free. He can chop me for $100.
Okay. How about?
I love how this guy didn't get the bit too. Like it's wrestling, dude. It's sports entertainment. I'm trying to get Booker T to the match. That way we can do business together. Booker would respect this. Actually,
can we find something where we each put $33 into a pot? Winner gets the $100 or the $99. I'll throw in the extra buck to make it 100, and loser gets chopped by Booker.
Sure.
Okay. Brian can't talk, so his answer is yes. Also,
it's still real to me. Damn it!
This guy goes, it's so disrespectful.
He got upset.
He said $100. Do it. All right. Send me the $100. Venmo Jeremy-Branham. Send it my way. Jeremy-Branham. Tip of the cap to the blank hats who cleared out the grocery stores for a few balmy days, says St. Patrick. Yeah. That's okay, though. It's okay that it missed. All right, 713-780-ESPN. Who's your junkie of the day? 713-780-3776. I just saw Brian's. Who is your junkie of the day? 713-780-ESPN. Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2. Monument Chevrolet, place that you need to buy your new vehicle. Monument Chevrolet, you know what makes them great? Their culture. Their culture is great. They have a great climate there. It's palpable the moment you step foot into their showroom, the moment you step foot on their lot. Massive lot, by the way. They have street names on their lot. It's so big. But one of the things I love about Monument Chevrolet, they take care of their salespeople. They give their salespeople more money than most places. They don't have the roster turnover of their salespeople because they take care of their salespeople. And if you're buying a vehicle, wouldn't you want to go to the place that has the best salespeople, that are honest with you, transparent with you? It's one of the values of Monument Chevrolet, not going to hassle you over pricing. You can trust Monument Chevrolet. That's why they're great to have on your side. Maybe one of your New Year's resolutions is to upgrade your ride. Monument Chevrolet, the place to do that, whether it's new, whether it's pre-owned, commercial fleet. They got the best commercial fleet in the game. They're offering exceptional deals on new vehicles. Tell them your budget, and they'll work hard to meet that budget. Whether you're looking for a durable, dependable Silverado, a compact, stylish Trax, Monument Chevrolet has the vehicle you want at the price you want. I'm currently driving an Equinox. I like the Equinox, too. It's not bad. But the vehicle of the week this week, of course, it's the Silverado, the American classic. Durable, versatile, powerful, like me, not Booker T. It's available in multiple trim levels, including off-road trims, and now you can get one with a crazy low, get this, 1.9% APR for 60 months. Get yourself in a Silverado, the American classic, for an APR less than 2% for 60 months. What are you waiting for? Head over to Monument Chevrolet, Beltway 8225. Ask for GM Jeff. How many GMs are like, yeah, I have them ask for me? Well, Jeff does because Jeff is the best, and he's going to get you a fantastic deal at Monument Chevrolet. Chevrolet, together, let's drive.
Must be 18 or older and present in Texas. Terms apply. See assets.underdogfantasy.com/web/play and get terms.
Houston's independent voice for sports, ESPN 97.5. This crazy world is home to all kinds of junkies.
I got a junkie for a wife. Don't need nothing.
Some worthless junkie.
We're adrenaline junkie.
Because I'm a news junkie.
Okay, I'm a Twitter junkie.
An elephant that's a junkie.
But only one can be the junkie of the day.
You're acting like I'm some kind of ski junkie.
What loser will be the winner? Find out with Jeremy and Joe.
Shut the f*** up, junkie.
713-780-ESPN. Who is your junkie of the day? Joe?
Whatever integrity was left of the Pro Bowl, which there wasn't much left, but congratulations to Shore Sanders being a Pro Bowler, I guess. Also, shout out Kamar Lassiter, Kalen Bullock. They're not Pro Bowlers, too.
Yeah.
But what a joke this thing has become.
Yeah, I saw somebody say this, like, the worst Pro Bowl alternate ever. I'm like, bro, you forgot Tyler Huntley. But yeah, pretty crazy. Did you see this middle school basketball fight? This is what
yes.
Poor. I feel bad for Ryan. Listen, what happened to Ryan?
And they just tase dry. This ball game is over.
Usually you, like, hit a big shot or hit a home run. This ball game is over. No, they tased Ryan. Play it again, Brian.
Ryan.
I love the way you said it, Ryan.
They just tased dry.
They just tased
this
Ryan.
This ball game is over.
Ryan, it seems like Ryan's been tased a time or two before. Oh, they just tased Ryan. It happened again. This one's over.
Poor Ryan. And they just tased Ryan.
I love his southern draw. They just tased Ryan. He's been tased. And then the Vikings get a nominee, too, for letting Sam Darnold go. Brian, what's your junkie of the day?
You want me to say it?
Yeah.
Trying to screen calls with this voice.
Sorry, what was that? You're doing what?
Damn you, Branham.
That's what Booker
just tell you dry.
That's what Booker T's gonna sound like whenever I get done with him.
It's so much worse than last time.
I feel like he's hurting every time he talks. I feel like he hurts his entire body. Just saying a few words. There's two great nominees, man. Tasing Ryan and Brian screening calls with laryngitis.
Just tell you dry.
What's winning here? Tase Ryan probably needs to be a drop. It's so good.
I agree.
Needs to be a drop. They just tase Ryan. Maybe just that part. The end of the game is unnecessary. They just tase Ryan.
And they just tase Ryan.
What we're going to say about D'Amico Ryans whenever he has a bad call. All right. What's winning?
Guys, good.
Oh, man. I don't know, Jeremy. Can we tie for once?
Let's go tase Ryan with a drop, and we'll give Brian answering calls. I think Brian needs to win something today for playing hurt.
I agree.
All right, Brian's our winner, our junkie.
I'm a dog.
He is a dog. I give him credit for that. Tip my cap to Brian, working hurt.
Brian, can you say goodbye to the audience for us?
Goodbye, audience.
Does it for us. Thanks to Brian, working hurt. He is Joe. I am Jeremy. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Keep it here. Bucky McMillan coming up in an hour. Fighting Texas Aggies, playing some good ball. Bucky McMillan show coming up a little bit later. Good night, Houston.
And they just tell you dry.
ESPN 97.5. Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.